Hello, everybody. It is 10 a.m. Thursday, where I am pretty much every Thursday, in town, out of town, doesn't matter. I've got comments here. I'm the founder of Dope CFO. I'm a CPA and CFO for the last 30 years, and this is all about cannabis, CBD, hemp. If you have any interest in the industry, check us out on dopecfo.com, or you can message me here and I'll get back to you. We have a complete program that includes education, complete marketing system for finding, pricing, closing cannabis clients. We have a what I call firm in a box toolbox of over 100 work papers and tools to serve the niche. And then we have what I feel is the premier number one VIP community in the US. All states, all expertise, all diversity. It's amazing. We just got off the 2-day AICPA cannabis conference, and for 2 full days, we were either speaking or moderating. Gosh, I don't even remember how many times I was up both days. As a matter of fact, one of the comments was I talked to the director of a national accounting firm afterwards, and one of her complaints was we were on too much. I was like, well, you know what? The big firms were there with me on the planning committee, but at the end of the day, they just, for whatever reason, couldn't get someone there or get the event or just have the knowledge, even the deep knowledge that we have. So it was an amazing conference. The highlight of end of day one, the social equity track. I actually had many more people I wanted to bring, and we culled it down to three because there were others, but the others didn't show up. So our three dope CFO VIPs, Paula Collins, Molly Mayfield, and Carlos Vila, represented really well, got huge ovations. It was amazing. So anyway, let's talk about delivery, cannabis delivery companies, and 280E. I'm doing a special thing today, and I will drop that in the comments here. I am going to do a live Zoom in 13 minutes from right this second. So if you actually want to, instead of me just talking to you, you want to join in Zoom and interact. If I can find it. Live Zoom starting. Okay. I'll put that in here in a minute, and I'll copy that and we'll have it good to go. So, but in the meantime, I'll talk about 280E real quickly, and this theme came up over and over and over in the conference from me, then followed by cannabis attorneys from big firms over and over. This, and I've been kind of, this has been my spiel at cannabis events, talking to farmers and dispensary owners for almost 3 years now. The name of the game in cannabis is not to beat 280E. And yet, if you go to any random conference or you talk to a farmer or dispensary owner, more often than not, the first thing out of their mouth, how do I beat 280E? Or my attorney said I can beat 280E this way with a multi-entity. Or by the way, that is probably the worst strategy of all the strategies to beat 280E. So be super careful if someone tells you to do that. So many people will ask you about that. It came up over and over again. And so my pitch to a business owner is, yes, you can actually make a killing in cannabis or CBD. And they also, owners do tell you that. I ask them, what do they want to do? Very, very, very few will tell me what my granddad told me long, long ago, that he was, we have electrical distribution business that my great granddad started in 1910. It is still going strong in 1920, 2022, over 100 years later. And that was the goal. They want to have a business to just pass down through the generations. That's a rarity in cannabis. Most of these companies have investors. Just that fact alone means that there's going to be a short time horizon. Most investors in, whether it's high-tech startups or cannabis, they want to get in, they want to build the company, and then they want to do an exit within 5 years. The good news is you can do an exit in 5 years if you focus on building value, your brand, your product, your location of your dispensary, revenue growth, vertically integrated integration can add value. Beating 280E actually detracts from value. We had lots of M&A people and valuations from some of these big firms come in, and they were seeing deals blow up because the acquirer would look at this company and be like, oh man, they did some really sketchy stuff on the tax side, and there could be hidden liabilities. The IRS is way behind. So if they buy that company right now and then the IRS comes in 2 years later, the hidden liabilities. And so the beating to ADE can actually bite you in the butt. And not just you got hidden liabilities, but also, you may not be able to close a deal, which is what they all want. They all want to get to exits. We saw this in high tech for decades. Companies could lose money for a decade and still have a valuation in the billions of dollars. And even think of the biggies, Amazon, Google, Facebook, losing tons of money for years. So it doesn't mean you have to be profitable or make net income. There's punitive tax on the industry. If and when 280E goes away, there's going to be a big valuation bump just by that fact alone, more than likely, depending on what kind of national tax they put on cannabis. But there's publicly traded Canadian companies that are valued very highly, even though they're losing tons of money. And so that's kind of the backdrop. Let's jump in to delivery companies. This is the really gray area. Now, yeah, I think about a lot of these. If it's truly a delivery company, kind of like Grubhub, and so I think in my hometown, Bend, Oregon, guy Joe's got a little, he's got his truck, and he's all of a sudden a delivery company, very low capital to get in. And it's not a huge $1 million money maker for a lot of these people doing delivery. It's kind of like Uber or Grubhub. You go pick up the pot and you drive it over here and you hope to make tips. Is the IRS going to chase these rinky-dink companies? I doubt it, because there's much, much bigger dollars for them to be had at dispensaries and farms and et cetera. Now, if you have a big cannabis delivery company that's making a lot of money, you might want to be a little bit careful. So people say, well, there is this company subject to 280E. The majority, it's a debate. It hadn't been through the courts yet. So, like many answers in cannabis, if someone tells you this is right or this is right, be wary, because oftentimes it depends, and it may be right, it may not be right. We'll see what happens. We can take what educated people think about it. So, for example, labs, testing labs, they take the product, they test it, they destroy it, they provide a service. Even though they touch the product, they're not involved in trafficking in any way. So 280E involves trafficking. If your company traffics, what the hell does that word mean? But if your company traffics cannabis, you are subject to 280E. So the next question is, does a delivery company traffic? Tell me. So in the criminal world, I don't care if you own the pot or not. If I go over, let's just talk about cocaine or heroin. It's Schedule One. Say I go over to Mexico and I meet a drug lord, and they're like, "Hey, Andrew, I'll pay you $1,000 to take this heroin across the border and give it to Sally who bought it from me, and I'll pay you $1,000." Great. I don't own the pot or the heroin, and I traffic it over the border. Can I get arrested? Heck yeah. They consider that trafficking. In the Champs case early on, trafficking was designed, they had a little clip in there, very small, saying, assuming that ownership. So if you don't own the goods, maybe you can get around it. But again, I'd be very careful. So that's probably the least favorite. If I was in a cannabis investor, I would probably not be touching delivery. For one, it can be the Uber model or Grubhub or whatever. There's gonna be lots of competition, lots of little players. It's gonna be a hard industry to get into, and it might be subject to 280E. So if the IRS comes and audit you and they say, yes, you are trafficking, then guess what's your other choice then? You could say, and we talked to a lot of attorneys about that, for example, they think, oh, 263A, we got a good claim that this actually, even though Harborside, they clearly said it doesn't, 263A is not allowed, they think they got a good position. But do you want to be that company that hires that attorney and you go spend millions of dollars with that attorney to win your point that you get 263A and you fight that for years? Meanwhile, you're not getting acquired. You're spending millions of dollars. You're fighting the IRS. Your life is hell. So the name of the game for me, if I'm a cannabis business owner, I don't want to fight the IRS. I want to be conservative. I don't want to be aggressive. I want to build the value. I want to be able to flip my company, and if I have investors, that would be more of the name of the game. So delivery companies, I guess, be cautious. If you're small and rinky-dink, you're probably don't have a huge worry, but just depends your situation. Get with your attorney, get with a cannabis attorney, Google that as well. Now distribution's a different story, and we actually had this talk in our, I believe it was our group. Things are jumbling together because I've been at this event, but I think so that someone said their client was whole, so a distributor, so this is before the retailer, not delivery company. So they go buy, say, or they weren't even buying, they pick up pot on consignment from the farm. And then once they located a retailer, they keep it on consignment till like 3 minutes before they sold it to the retailer. Then they would take ownership, then they would sell it to the retailer. I would be super careful with that, because if you take ownership, you're definitely trafficking. So there's no question 280E applies, and they thought they were getting out of that. So be careful on that end as well. Rick, they are not subject to 280E based on CHAMP. Rick, but there's been some further, as based on the AICPA, there's been even some further clarification, and there, it's a very, very gray area. I heard many attorneys talking about this from big firms. The end of the day, there is you can take a position, and you may be right, but be careful. So it's not a given. We talked about this over and over. There are many people of the strong opinion that it's super risky to take that position. So just let your client be aware. You think whatever position. Allison, the 263A argument, I don't know if you missed Jennifer Bendis talk, and you can Google her as well. She believes she's got some real reason for a case. But in Harborside, 263A, they flat out said it's not allowed. So can you come in and apply it and get a few more costs in inventory? You could try that, but again, if that's your, you got your glasses on, I'm beating 280, how do I do better and get around it? That's not a good strategy. Don't take a controversial position. Don't go down that route with your client if possible. They're trying to build their company and go to exit. They don't want all these tax headaches. So let's do 471-11 right. We can get a lot of cost in inventory if we do it correctly. Check that one out. But again, it's, and I've talked, Jennifer was on my podcast and I've talked to her about this, and I say, look, I get it. And she's looking for a retailer, a multi-chain MSO that can maybe push this case for a couple of years. But someone's going to have to be like Harborside, where they're not concerned. They're really willing to spend millions and millions of dollars to take that risk. Most of our clients aren't going to want to go down that road.